Hello. I don't know if all you ladies are ready, but I'm ready. I have a voice. Some of you heard I had no voice on Wednesday. Here it is. So as people trickle in and get settled, I thought I would ask you, does anyone have a New Year's resolution that's still going? Or have we all gone kaput? Sacho, what you have?
I decided to do a declaration instead of a resolution. I don't know if that makes sense, but my declaration was that instead of cleaning out and getting rid of this and that, I would actually hold on to those things that are important. And so I've started a jar that was created by my son for my brother's wedding. And every night I put in a positive moment from that day. And what I'm finding is that it is really hard to just put one moment because I'm experiencing a lot more of them than I imagined.
That's cool. Last year I tried to do a gratitude journal. You like list three things each day that you're thankful for. I don't think I made it through February. I was reading it this week. I was like, oh, that happened last year. Oh, last year we all had the flu, so we're doing better this year. Anyone else want to share a resolution? Oh, Rebecca.
So I signed up for a 10K, so please pray for me.
Goals, ladies, goals. All right, I have some resolutions that were kind of funny, and I thought, hey, I'll just read them. So these are not mine. I found them on the internet. You know how that goes. This year, I want to watch 100 movies, but I better not do it at the expense of my grades. So my goal is to watch 100 movies and keep my scholarship. Whoa. Number two, I never buy food that isn't on special offer. That's quite the resolution. I don't know about that one. I resolve to stop drinking orange juice after I've brushed my teeth. Spend less than $1,825 at Starbucks this year. Help kids stay safe by not texting on my cell phone while eating McDonald's and speeding through crosswalks and school zones with a frost-covered window. One person said, talk with a robot voice all the time. I'm not so sure who would say that. Who would think of that? There you go. Lower my bills by digging a hole to put them in. And the last one, visit the grocery store more often than restaurants, especially when free samples are being served. Sounds like my kids are like, Costco, well, do they have samples right now? I don't know if I want to go. I need the samples at Costco. So I'm excited for tonight, ladies. It's been kind of a journey to get here to this point. So right off the bat, you know that we are in a new season, and that means a new committee has been established to lead you women. And so I wanted to introduce all of you to those ladies. You know that, she's in the hall. Heidi and Gail were part of Pat's team as well, and they have continued to serve on the committee with me. Gail's out in the hall. Pray for Heidi and Ramon. He's on heavy antibiotics with infection because of his gallbladder exploding, and he's unable to have surgery still at this point just because of the infection. So it's got to get under control. So she's not here tonight, but continue to keep them in your prayers. And thank you, Gail, for serving and just for her loyalty to the Women's Bible Study on Tuesday nights as well. New members that I would like to introduce to you are they ready? We'll start with Rebecca Lane. So she's our 10K runner over here. Rebecca Lane's been here for 2 years. A little over 2 years. They came from Dallas, so they have the southern draw. But I was in school in Missouri, and so they're just like, there's like a family feel. Next, let's pick on, where are they? Is Deb Buckley in the room? You're right in front of my face, Deb. Deb Buckley loves you women. She's very warm, and I'm very excited to have her on the committee as well. And then we have sweet Alexa in the back. She's usually behind the scenes running media, but she is so faithful and she has a heart for you ladies. And there's Gail. I mentioned you earlier and I thanked you for, yeah, there's Gail. And then we have Carol Mattingly standing in the doorway. She is our wise woman. She's that shining, smiling face in the choir during first service, so I'm thankful for her. So that's it. We have Gail, Heidi, Carol, Deb, Rebecca, and Alexa, and myself, and we are so happy to be leading you ladies. And there's one more lady who's very important because her husband Franco came. What month was it? Where are you? Where's Jackie? Stand up, Jackie. Jackie is Pastor Franco's wife. I don't know if you've had a chance to see her or meet her, but an evening like this is a great opportunity to get to know her. So I've had fun getting to know her a little bit. So it's just, it's a new season and I'm excited. So in this new season, Rob is also working on launching a new website. And so I was asked to prepare a write-up for the women's ministry page, and I thought, oh, yes, I get to write a mission statement. And so I wrote a mission statement based on Pastor Stephen's mission statement for the church, but it's a little more specific to us women. So I wanted to share that with you, and then just a couple other things. I won't be too long because I don't know that my voice is going to last that long after having... But it is, women's ministry exists to equip women to use their means of influence to advance the good news and bring glory to God. Women are empowered for the work of ministry through studying the word together and connecting in community. We have each been given the manifestation of the Spirit in various ways. Our desire is for each woman to use her gifts for service and for the building up the body of Christ. So, I could not get Ephesians 4 off my heart and my mind at that point. Another other scripture that had to do with the roles we play in the body and unity in general. So I was reading through chapter 4, and I kept saying, yes, I want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling God has given me. Yes, I want to walk in humility. Yes, I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Yes, I want to be, you know, Lord, help to equip me for ministry. Yes, I want to grow up into every way into him who is the head. And I just kept going. That's through about verse 16. But then I realized verse 14, I skipped. I didn't mention verse 14. And it's so that you may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by the wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And you kind of read the verse and you think, but I'm an adult. I don't want to act like a child. Sure, I don't want to be tricked into a scheme, but is this a big issue? And then I thought about it a little bit more and how from the beginning we've been tricked. Do you remember Genesis 3:1? Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" This idea, if you went to the network conference in November, I know a few of you did, but it was spoken of there how Satan is a manipulator, how he doesn't create his own stuff, he just manipulates what has been created. Is the voice behind the, did God actually say, and he brands his lies to us very well. When Satan speaks, he tries to make us think we're unwanted, that we're not good enough, that we don't measure up, that we're inadequate, that we should take the easy way out. We're not that kind of women though, are we? He tries to blur the perception that we have of ourselves. The feelings he can bring make us want to hide our light under the basket. Is that who we are? No. As Stephen spoke on Sunday about getting comfortable and how it's hard to get up and you start to rationalize and maybe convince yourself otherwise. And it's easy to believe lies we hear when we look at ourselves. It's easy to think, well, we know better, but then we struggle to obey. It's easy to become like a child who didn't get their way and now you're in a heap on the floor and you're unable to move. You don't want to move. You supposedly don't have the strength to move. We think being full of grace is too hard. It's overrated. I don't feel like being gentle today. How much longer do I have to bear with these people? Why can't I just have my own way? But, you know, I'm an adult. It'll work out. Going back to Ephesians, Paul said, don't be as children. Children are easily distracted. Children will believe things that are not true. They want their way, and they think they know best. One year at Christmas, I had a few larger boxes wrapped. One was a little on the long side, and I convinced Elias that they had something like zippers, muffins, and basketballs in them. I can't confirm this because I'm off of Facebook for these 2 weeks, so I couldn't look back on my memories to confirm this with you. But the point is, don't believe that the long, skinny box has a basketball in it. Yet how often we do. It's distorted, and we believe the lie, or we at least start to doubt the truth. It's kind of like when you're sick, and so then you think your stomach ache is going to lead to your death in about 48 hours. Don't do that either. Or when your child has a little boo-boo that is so severe you can't even see it. But they won't be appeased. They're just totally immobilized until that Band-Aid gets slapped on or that kiss makes it all better. And then they run off as if there's nothing ever wrong. If I believe the thoughts that have come to mind for every ache and pain, for every physical concern I've had, I'd be a blind, deaf, mute, toothless, you know, crippled old lady with lots of aches and pains and things to complain about. This is not the life for us. So don't get stuck in childish ways, being tossed and turned and distracted by the lies and the minor boo-boos and the distortions of the enemy by his craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, going back to Ephesians, verses 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Remember this purpose. Remember this identity. We are part of this body of Christ. Sometimes we're clanging around a little bit, running into each other a little bit, but we are joined and held together by the one who has equipped us for the work. The Creator himself has fashioned us for our specific calling, and when we're speaking the truth in love, working properly, then we grow. Further in chapter 4, Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I do encourage you to just read the whole chapter at home. I didn't want to put the whole thing up tonight. But just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about Ephesians 4. Relates to our theme verse this year. You received the theme, the National AG Women's theme verse for this year when you walked in. So that is, the theme is entrusted with treasure, and the theme verse is 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. In order to speak the truth in love, like we talked about in Ephesians 4, we need to know the truth. We need to be in the Word. I was so excited for the opportunity to read the Bible together with the Chasing Truth plan because it has a twofold purpose. We'd be growing in the knowledge of the Word and we would do it together. And the together part I was super excited about. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We've been entrusted with so many other things. I know you ladies take on a lot of responsibilities. We've been entrusted with a lot of different things, but this one is central. There will be other plays to call, but this year we've got to focus. The gospel is central. We've been entrusted with it, and so we're going to unite together and start there. Who's reading the Chasing Truth? Is anyone reading with me, following along? I'm really bad with daily, like, checklists outside of, like, personal hygiene. So I've been very excited that there's some accountability, and yeah, that we're doing it together. It's a learning process, so I'm excited. So, reading more around 2 Timothy, I was reading 1 and 2 Timothy, thinking about this verse. And so the book of 2 Timothy opens with Paul talking to Timothy and reminding him about his heritage of faith, how faith dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And then a few verses later, Paul says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and soul," I'm sure. He goes on and says things like, "Don't be ashamed, don't get entangled, don't get distracted in the race you're competing in." And it brings me comfort knowing that even Timothy needed to be reminded. Timothy was Paul's close companion. He was essentially a pastor ministering to churches, and he was a godly man, yet he needed to be reminded of his purpose and the call God placed on his life, reminding him that it wasn't his own strength or his own works, but it was because of God's purpose and grace. To be honest with you, I came with some timidity tonight. Even just like months ago, there's been some struggle to get to this point, to know what to say, to overcome some physical things, and even just learning about today, how carbon monoxide detectors affected baking and things with the slides and this and that, and then my no voice on Wednesday, and it was just like there was something different about it this time. I'm not quick to assume it's the enemy. I know sometimes life just happens, and I'm not quick to assume that, but there was just something about it that felt different this time. Other members had mentioned just, you know, a sense of the enemy wanting to foil our unity. So at various times, I questioned the importance of tonight. I would think, what's a huddle? Like, why did I like that word? No one knows what a huddle is. So what's the point? Who's going to show up to a huddle? Ugh. Or that I really had nothing important to say. And so when I lost my voice this week, all these ideas came flooding back, and I just kind of sat there quiet and smiled a little bit, because I knew that it was so much more, that those ideas were not from God. I honestly thought, who could read this? Who could I find that would read through this for the ladies? Because we're still going to huddle, even if I don't have a voice. I didn't know how tonight would be affected, but I knew that the Holy Spirit had put his word in my heart and that I was going to guard it well, because I've been entrusted with the gospel just like you. That's what our verse says. We've been entrusted with responsibilities within the church, and I wasn't going to let some empty threats diminish the value and the confidence in that I have in Christ. Remember the verse, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Guard, ladies. That's why we're huddling together. In a moment, we will physically huddle, not with grunting and sweating bodies and stuff like that, but we're going to group up, and we're calling it a huddle. Teams huddle up in preparation for the work they have to do together. If you've noticed in the contemporary service and on Wednesday nights, we put fists, the worship team prays, and we put fists in. It's like we have a little huddle. We are on the same team for our same purpose. Though we have different parts to play, we remind ourselves that we need each other. We remind ourselves about the unity. We get focused on the mission so that we're not distracted by anything else. This is our huddle. We have treasure to guard. We've been entrusted to guard the treasure, and we're not going to let the enemy come along and distort the truth. We're not going to listen to his threats. We aren't going to get entangled in worldly temptations. We aren't going to believe half-truths, because we have the full truth in hand. We are going to remember our call and our purpose, and that God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-control. So we're going to keep moving forward, leaning forward, pressing on, and paying attention like an athlete on the track, like an athlete in a race, like an athlete in the field. But if you keep going in 2 Timothy, Paul mentions suffering. In 1:8, he says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." In chapter 2, Paul continues to write things like, "Share in suffering, why I suffer." Does this mean we'll have to suffer? That we get to share in suffering? Yes, but don't worry. Hebrews 12:1-2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." We're leaning forward. We're running the race. We're going forward. "The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And Philippians 2:1-2, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, though we suffer, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." We are in this together with Christ. He knows suffering. He knows the threats. But we are in this together. And I think the key to our hope that's in 2 Timothy is in verse 2:8. And it simply says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Death has been abolished. Threats are empty. Jesus has brought life and immortality. We must know what we have believed, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will guard the treasure that has been entrusted to us. We have hope and confidence because Jesus has already won. He is victorious, and the same power that raised him from the dead is at work in us, in this body that is standing and huddled, united tonight. So guard the treasure well, ladies. If we get knocked down, we're going to get back up. We're going to hold it close to our heart and not be distracted. Know the truth and experience the life that it brings. So we're going to look to Jesus, our head, and run within us." Sound good? All right, it's time to huddle up. So you're going to get out of your seats in a moment, but I want to reiterate my heart to you. We are in this together, and that word has become very important to me. Being a leader in the church has brought challenges, yes, but it is a joy and an encouragement probably beyond what you realize to know that we are in this together, that I can do it with you, that I have hands to hold to agree in prayer, that we have not neglected meeting together, that we're actively leaning in and moving forward, that there's an anticipation and an expectation of what the Lord has for us this year, that the vision and the mission have been cast, and with faith we are expecting God to move in our midst as women and in the community, in the church as a whole. And we desire to see people healed. We desire to see marriages restored, prodigals welcomed home. Lord, the needs are incredible. And it makes me realize how much more incredible God is. We want to be women who are for God and his righteousness. We want to be led in his truth and know the freedom that we have in Christ. So each of you have been given the theme verse when you came in, something like this. Did everyone get one? Does anyone need one? Sacha needs one. You can have mine. Is that it? Is that yours? Oh. Everyone have one. All right. We have a group leader assigned to each color, and they are going to now stand up and spread themselves out throughout the room. In a moment, you will go to the leader who is holding up your color. Your color is your group. It's a very teacher sort of thing to do. All right, don't move yet, though. Don't move yet. Just the leaders are moving. Once, because you got to know what you're going to do in your group. All right. Once everyone is huddled up, I want each of you to share a verse to encourage someone in your group. For example, Carol shares a verse with Debbie. Then Debbie shares a verse with Kathy. And then Kathy shares, and you can go on and on until you're back to the beginning. Does that make sense? Your leader will help you. They've been instructed. They will. I've done this before, and it can be quite challenging because the groups are random. It's not just your group of friends, and you might not know everyone in the group. That's when you ask the Lord for help. You say, Lord, give me a verse. Maybe the verse, maybe my favorite verse will really encourage someone. So it stretches you a bit, but it really is a unifying and great thing that I wanted to do with you ladies tonight. Some of you might be able to recite a verse just perfectly. Good job. I am not one of those types of people. That's a Pastor Stephen sort of thing to do. That's not, I struggle with memorizing. But if you can give the main gist, I'm pretty sure the women in your group will be fully supportive and be like, yes, that's a great verse. Or let me help you out with that idea. It's going to be an encouraging thing, so no fear, no judgment. It's going to stretch you. Does that make sense? Okay, so don't let the fear stop you. This is our huddle. We're huddling up. We're huddling up to signify unity, to speak the truth, to build each other up in love. All right, so I'm going to just share a few verses to kind of get your gears spinning as you're going to your group. You can get up and go to your group. All right, so a funny proverb that I like, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. What does that mean? It means my house would be spotless if I didn't have any oxen and food in it. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. 2 Corinthians 3:17, for our sake he made, wrong one. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I have a whole page. You want me to keep, all right, you're all grouped up. Excellent. All right, leaders, take it away. Huddle up, ladies. As groups are wrapping up, you can feel free to finish, but I'm going to close in prayer real quick, and then the food is available, and just have a blessed time of fellowship for the rest of our evening. So, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this group of women, Lord, for this time to come together and to think about your word, Lord, and what it means to us. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting it to us, Lord, that you've given us your word, Lord, and I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to grow in unity, this thing of your word together, to be speaking the truth in love, Lord, that it would truly set us free, that we would know you more and more, Lord, as we abide in your word. God, I pray that you would bless our fellowship and the remainder of this evening. God, I pray that you would bless this year for Bethany women, Lord. We're excited for what you have in store. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.